listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Bathering, I said Magic the Bathering. we'll start it again. I'm doing it again. Hey, you're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the podcast that dares to ask, hey, are you the bad guy? And the answer is probably. I'm your host, Mike Carosa, the stand-up comedian and author of the column Am I the Bullus over at CommandersHerald.com, the column that this podcast is based on. Joining me, as always, in the same office across two different countries in the same room somehow is my co-host. Oh, dear. What can I say about him? You might know him as Games Freak SA. You know him as the brain behind How They Brew It. Series on CommandersHerald.com, where honestly, if you should go check out his 7 decks in 1. I don't remember what the article was called, but it was really good. It was Demir Commander Deck Tech. It was awesome. You guys should check that out. Go through the archives. Michael Solani is here with us. Hey, Michael.
Listen, I just gotta have to say that I'm really grateful to Lizards of the Roast for making this amazing game, Magic the Gathering. It's given me so much in my life. Stop. And I just want to say I'm so happy that I play it all the time, you know?
You're I can't say that word. Anyway, the point is you put out a
Italian?
Great article. That's the one. You put out an article of How They Brew It called Satoru the Infiltrator and the Magnificent Seven on April 30th, and I highly recommend. This is like necessary reading, guys. If you like Commander Deck Techs, once again, I credit Solani with the best brain for brewing in EDH, and I dare you to come up with somebody who's fucking more creative. I'm sorry, Ken. I swear immediately. I swear on my other podcast. I miss swearing on this one.
Give it time.
Yeah, at some point we'll just drop it. Also with us today, as always, is our super genius producer, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well. I'm on account of all the cursing, though, I will tell you guys that I am moving to another country tomorrow, the country of California, I will be there until the cursing stops and morale improves.
Damn. And morale improves. Well, good luck with all of it. Shout out to California.
So you want to avoid cursing and you go to California?
Where curses live.
Yeah, like show business is there. That's where all the cursing is, right?
Oh my God, the curse of vanity. Am I right?
You guys are beaches.
Oh, damn.
You can't say that word. You're not in California yet.
You got us.
They only exist in California.
Speaking of only existing in California, heavy segue for no payoff because I want to stop talking about California. We're in the middle of a rap
beef. I don't blame
Kendrick
you.
Kendrick Lamar and Drake. That's dating this episode. What was this? Two weeks ago? Anyway. Point is, we're back, baby. We're back, and we're in the throes of, honestly, a wild recovery and a blunder. You know, there was all those Modern Horizons 3 leaks, and then Wizards was like, okay, well, I guess we're going to do this early. Here's a bunch of cards that we weren't exactly ready to show off yet, but here they are. Here are some cards, and I got to tell you, there's a lot happening, and I'm really excited for Modern Horizons 3. I did not think I would care, but I do big time.
Come on, Mike. You know that a set called Modern Horizons would be made exclusively for Commander players these days, right?
That's, you know what? Modern Horizons.
It's essentially 3, in the name. Modern Horizons, Commander.
It has Commander product.
It's the same.
It does have Commander decks.
Listen, if neither of you are going to bring up the obvious twist, I think that Wizards did this themselves, right? They leaked the cards so that they could unleak the cards, which will build hype for a release set that won't happen in another, you know, I don't know, is it like 4 months? 2 months?
I guess, but I think it's June.
Doesn't that seem bad, though?
In like 10 days.
Well, you can't go a couple weeks without any sort of new cards. Then you'll forget the game exists.
Yeah, it's not like people want room to breathe.
Okay, see, that's where I think you're right. Because nothing was happening in May, and then all of a sudden we got like all these cards spoiled, and the article got 404'd because so many people were looking at the website.
Oh, sure, that's why.
I remember being like, I gotta release this Satoru article before Horizons 3 thing starts, and then the leaks come out on the day I release the article. I'm like,
I remember that, and it's a great article.
I can never win. I still somehow managed to get the top of r/EDH that week.
Congratulations. I'm very proud of you. I like that for you.
I'll brag. I'll humble brag. I'm not even being humble about it.
I love that. And I don't need you to be humble about it. I'm proud of you, and I mean it.
We love you.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Why don't you just kiss him?
Mwah. Anyway, there's a lot of interesting stuff out here. I think I'm most excited for, I can't even pronounce the word, Chthonian Nightmare. It's basically a better or quote fixed recurring nightmare. One in a black enchantment. When it enters a battlefield, you get 3 energy counters. Pay X energy, sacrifice a creature, return Chthonian Nightmare to its owner's hand. To return target creature card with mana value X from your graveyard to the battlefield and activate only as a sorcery. So this is like a direct callback to recurring nightmare, which was just 2 in a black enchantment, sacrifice recurring nightmare, the creature, and return recurring nightmare to your hand. And then you can only activate it as a sorcery, but you're still returning a creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. This gates it behind energy counters, but makes it 2 mana cheaper. And gives you the energy to do it. It's like, yes, you're not going to get like a 7 drop immediately, but Dockside is only 2 mana. It's a very powerful card. And does anything else catch your eye in here, Michael? Did you see anything that you're like particularly like spiced about so far?
I'm pretty excited about Haragast Erupting Nullkite.
I was hoping you'd say that.
It's the one that gives everything a merge, right?
Yeah, that's so cool. 9 mana. 6/6 legendary creature Eldrazi Dragon.
Yeah.
It's got a merge for 6 red, and when you cast it, you may exile your hand, and if you do, you draw 3 cards. So you get a discount if you sacrifice the creature. Emerge is a wild mechanic that I quite like. And each creature spell you cast having a merge is just so sick. This is gonna go perfectly in my Rakdos the Muscle deck that I still haven't finished brewing.
I'm sorry to inform you that this is secretly an affinity card. Secretly an affinity for artifacts card.
I mean, why is that?
You're not allowed to have fun with it anymore. Because all you can do is play a bunch of big affinity for artifacts things, and then they cost like 7 mana, but you only pay 3. And then you use that to, yeah.
So Zabaz is finally going to be a card that people brew around, or no. Mr. Modular?
No, it's not. It's not even the top 5 modular commanders.
Glimmer Wasp himself, the Boros Glimmer Wasp, is he going to like the big old Eldrazi Dragon? Morgan, is there anything that caught your eye in this announcement for Modern Horizons 3?
I mean, I'm jumping on the bandwagon because I saw this leak when the first leaks came out, and I am a committed Null Drifter girly. I love my little flying ornithoptery little guys, and I mean, so Null Drifter, 7, like, any mana. When you cast a spell, draw 2 cards. Flying, Annihilator, 1, and an evoke cost of 2U, which is pretty solid. For a
4-4 Eldrazi Elemental.
For a 4-4 Eldrazi Elemental. And I mean, you know, a flyer that you could theoretically just cast for 3 mana.
Yeah, but then, isn't that just... what's divination? Is it
2
draw 2?
It's 2 and a blue to draw 2 cards?
But you can't counter divination. This.
Yeah.
You know, for all those people who are countering your divinations.
Yeah, those people.
Right. The people who are running 40 counter spells.
Have you ever countered a rampant growth?
No, I mean, I haven't, but I mean, I want to.
Am I the bullest for countering someone's rampant growth?
Yes, but also depends.
Listen, if it says Annihilator on it, I'll play it. It means it's always good.
I like that Null Drifter is just divination, and we know this, but it can be blinked. The Null Drifter... needs to be cast.
Null Drifter can't be blinked.
But it's also Null Drifter. It's a cutie patootie.
Yeah, it's a cutie patootie.
There are certain reasons you add or play cards. Annihilator and being a cutie patootie are two of the bigger ones in my list.
Agreed. I mean, speaking of cutie patootie, It That Heralds the End is a real cutie patootie. If you take a look at this art.
Yes.
Unbelievable work.
You guys are weird. There's a little actual dog in this set, and you're like, nope. Let's talk about horrifying monstrosities from Beyond the Void.
In the fantasy game, okay?
We're trying to be avant-garde.
In the fantasy game, I still want to pet the dog. Jeez.
I mean, that's fair. I also want that.
If you see a Null Drifter in real life, you're going to be like, I want to pet that thing. Give it a little kiss on its thing.
A little noggin where you can find it.
And then you'll be annihilated. And so it's like 2 birds, 1 stone. I die and die happy.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's smart. I like that, Morgan. I mean, look, we're not at Modern Horizons 3 yet. I mentioned I have a Rakdos the Muscle deck on the way. I also was taking a closer look at old Thunder Junction and Marchesa. I just keep thinking Marchesa, Dealer of Death. You know, 3/4 for 3 mana. Whenever you commit a crime, you pay 1. You can pay 1. You may pay 1. And then you look at the top 2 cards of your library, 1 to hand, 1 to the graveyard. Come on now. Tell me that isn't fun. Your boy likes it. I'm into it. Give me a reason to run Urza's Glasses. I'll do it. I will. Give me a reason to play Ghidra and Dahada, the Planeswalker with corruption counters. I don't care. I'll do it. Give me a reason. This is my reason.
But all of those reasons are bad reasons.
I'll tell you what's a bad reason. Oh, okay. Well,
give us a reason to answer that switchboard.
I don't think switchboards make that sound, Morgan. You should get that checked out.
The technology we have here is unparalleled.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to take this call. We'll be right back after the phone call. Don't go anywhere. It is time to check out who the caller is. You're on with Mike. It's the Bullcast. Who am I talking to? Identify yourself, Barbershop Trio. Look at this. It's the first time we have more than one person calling in.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
Well, who wants to talk first? Tell me who you are and where you're calling from.
I'll gladly introduce us. We're the Howling Salt Mine podcast crew, and we're calling you from inside of a salt mine, if you could believe it or not.
Yeah.
So if the acoustics are weird at all, it's definitely because of that and not because of our recording setups.
Yeah,
it is very fun that you guys committed to that bit so hard that you found an actual salt mine to record in.
It's not a bit, Mike. It's real. It's fucking real. Yeah. You're ruining the magic for all the viewers.
And we're bleeping immediately, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no. That's another one.
Oh, I knew this would be a problem.
I was not warned that I needed to be kid friendly. I gotta wake up and prep for that in the morning. Like,
look, that is fair. That is fair. I still don't think that not swearing is necessarily kid friendly. Do you know there's that old Patton Oswalt bit where he talks? It's old. It's so gross. Anyway, point is, he says a bunch of like kid friendly stuff that's technically clean, but it's a nightmare.
Questionable. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're making me think everything I say.
Well, now you gotta keep it clean, but not too clean. Keep it a little bit of spice.
Hey.
Oh, look at us go. Well, now, I know who I'm talking to. Let's introduce the voices so everybody knows. Well, you almost jumped in there. Michael, please.
I was speak. Ready to go. I'm Mike. Go. I'm also one of the hosts of this Howling Salt Mine podcast. Yeah. All three of us. We're all in the mine.
Yeah, and I'm Tony. I'm the one that I'll get bleeped a whole lot more probably.
Yeah. And I'm Sam. I will also get bleeped probably. And
shout out to the Patreon, which will eventually start at some point.
Hell
You'll
yeah.
get the non-bleeped version. Isn't that
Ooh.
Sick?
Oh, hell yeah. Here's yeah. something for you guys.
This is a good episode Nuts. For that one.
if people don't, do I plug? Should I plug? Do people need to know what that one's on? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
People should know.
So if people don't know what the Howling Salt Mine is, it's a comedy advice podcast where each week we read salty stories about Magic the Gathering games gone wrong from the Magic the Gathering community. And we are basically like the brother podcast show to the Am I the Bullcast / Am I the Bull-S article. It was actually kind of like a really funny story of just, you know, parallel thinking. And then one day we bumped into each other on the internet and we're like, hey, we should collab.
Yeah, it felt very easy. So for those of you who don't know, I've done an episode of the Howling Salt Mine.
Yeah, I think it was
apparently
42?
Still the longest episode. We were talking about this earlier today when I told these guys to call all at once on the on the podcast. God, I'm so good at keeping up the way the show seems, huh?
Yeah, dude. You got
it's me. It's a radio call-in show.
I'm glad our phone service is good getting to you, right?
Good. And yes, and. Anyway, I
have to be careful, though. I don't know if I have enough minutes for a long call, so.
Minutes! Oh, my God! Minutes!
Oh, I called collect, man.
Dude.
Yeah,
dude. I'm trying. It's just who I am.
I know. It's just how we talk. It's hard to.
You
break
know what
it.
Though? In Canada, that's not even much of a swear. That don't get bleeped many places.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
So that means we're up. Good, or like, don't do that.
No. This is an American production by a Canadian comedian and a Canadian editor. Shout out to Ken Peddle, our editor, who's Canadian.
Good luck with this one, bud.
Yeah, we do swear a lot on the Howling Salt Mine. We're technically an explicitly rated show just because we didn't want to get flack for our foul mouth. So we're kind of like the edgy older brother to the Am I the Bull cast. Like, we'll give you a cigarette and let you sip the beer every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then I'll sip the beer and go, ew, yucky. And that's those are the vibes of the podcast. So I was able to do an episode of the Howling Salt Mine back in, about, what, a year and some change ago? A while ago.
I think it was. Yeah. I think, you know, we're recording this at some point. The illusion point, yeah, is so still intact, been... listeners. I won't tell you what time of year it is. But
it is happening live.
I think it's like March 2023 or something that we had you on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's a great show. Or that's a great episode. I mean, of course, I'll say it's a great show. But that's a fantastic episode. If people love Mike and your antics, jump into that episode. It's a great one to kick off with.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it is. We were talking about this. We are in the niche of like magic content where we'll take stories and just talk about them rather than we'll get stories or we'll like talk about the stories that we've experienced or whatever. But rather than being like, here's a deck tech or like, hey,
review, this thing, that thing, gameplay, all the stuff.
Are three mana rocks good enough anymore?
Yeah.
And it's
what's wrong with Farewell?
Yeah.
It's a set review. And next week, it's another set coming out right after we release the set review. So there's that set review coming. And that one's got four pre-cons with it. So good luck, everybody. And you know what? I love listening to all that stuff. Like, I'll listen to a bunch of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I listen to like non-commander podcasts specifically as well. Like, I love
like a carried away. Look,
I don't know about that.
Some limited.
Settle down.
Oh, I listen to me some limited resources and Dominario's Judgment and MTG Goldfish podcast. You know what I mean? They love themselves some modern and some standard. You
that
know what
is
I mean?
True.
They But I'll say Commander is where my heart's at, but I love listening to all those different kinds of format podcasts. And I think nobody's coming at it from the same perspective as we are, which is something's happened. I don't know how to feel about it. Dude, let's unpack this a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like I have a basically Am I the Asshole subreddit as my column.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a Dear Anything. And you guys are like, hey, somebody's complaining on Reddit again. Let's get into it. You know what I mean?
I love how we come at it from different angles where you're looking to see if someone is the bolus in the situation. And we're just like, what's the salt level here? Would this make us salty? And, you know, because we're pretty salty. Well, okay, Mike.
All the time.
Mike isn't that salty. I think that's kind of the conceit of our show. Mike, our Mike.
I don't think Tony's that salty either.
Tony,
I think Sam is hyper salty.
Hold on. Wait, bleep that.
Oh,
hold on
whoops.
A second. Both Tony and Sam are salty boys. We're just going to say that real quick. We know that for a fact. All right. You think I don't listen to the podcast? I listen to How It's South, but I know who's saltiest. All right. You guys have a count going. And you know what? Low key. Even though Tony gets louder when he's salty, Sam is the saltiest.
I am.
It's
easily. No doubt about it.
It actually made it really hard to prep for this show because I was like, I'm the bolus about a lot of things, man.
Well, part of the show is getting through these stories and talking about ways we can grow through them and maybe use them as, is this a lesson to be learned? Are we going to change things up?
Definitely.
And some people welcome that, other people do not, and that is fair. So,
somebody take away this.
Yeah. Somebody better take it away from me. You know what I did last time? Last time, I did this maybe 6 months ago when this comes out. The last one we recorded, I used Bone Crushers Never Scared. And our editor, Ken, was like, hey, man, this guy's like extremely litigious for some reason. And I think it's a better idea to not use that drop. And I was like, oh, man, what do you think we should use? And he was like, a bunch of chickens would be great. And I was like, this is perfect.
That is fantastic.
So what's our bunch of chickens?
Shout out to Ken, really tying everything together. He's like a real good magic glue on this podcast.
Do you got those chickens? Can you hit us with those chickens right now? Or is this
I don't have the chickens. Ken,
Ken's got the chickens. It's in post.
Ken's got the chickens.
Ken, insert Ken's chickens here, chickens. Please. Well, we've been using the same like 10-second clip of It's Been a While by Stained while. In like so many of our episodes. So,
hopefully Stained is not extremely litigious.
I'm going to say, of all the bands from that era, I would expect them to be really, really into like copyright striking people.
I think when you have a one-hit wonder like that, you do have to become litigious. You gotta like hang on to that thing like grim death, you know what I mean?
Do you think Stain thinks of themselves as one-hit wonder? Because It's Been a While isn't necessarily just their one hit, although I would probably say it is. But they probably wouldn't, considering they've released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 albums.
Whoa! Oh, no.
One as recent as 2023.
Oh, my God. Damn. Jam.
It's still active. It's,
I love that one. It's my favorite
it's
album.
It's been a while since It's Been a While. Okay, yeah, so
it's still
it's been a while. It was released March 20th, 2001.
Whoa.
Right? So,
wow.
And here's the thing. You put out a song that becomes a joke answer? I don't think you can. It's like if All Star, if Smash Mouth wasn't like embracing the fact that that's all everybody gives, like cared about. Yeah. And that's not to say that Walking on the Sun wasn't great or the I'm a Believer cover wasn't great. But you know, Bare Naked Ladies knows they have other hits, but people love to go, it's been. And that's not, you know, they're not coming at us for just doing that.
Yeah, you got to play to your audience. You know what I mean? I mean, that's part of showbiz.
I think they're still making music because they're hoping something else will take over and that the legacy won't be It's Been a While.
It's been a while. That is the legacy.
That is like, it. Yeah.
Trying to change it and it's just not going to happen. But
yeah.
What would it take for Stain's next song? What would dethrone It's Been a While? What could possibly happen with that guy's voice that would make people go, yeah, this is it?
Maybe like a collab with Taylor Swift or something might be enough to catapult them out of that hole.
All right, Aaron Lewis, it's time to get Taylor on the phone.
Oh, all right. Another caller.
Well, I got to let you guys go. We got this other caller, right? So,
you know, I won't take it personally.
Oh, yeah. I almost hit the Seinfeld theme song and I can't keep using that one. I'm learning not to do it. Okay. It's like, it's hard. It's on my other podcast, we let it fly like it's nothing. Look, our other podcast is not doing numbers the way this one is, which, by the way, thank you for listening. It is insane. A lot of you guys are out there listening to this, and that is wild. Thank you so much.
Love it.
It rules.
Comes with consequences.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, guys, who wants to talk about a story or a pet peeve? Let's get into the meat. And you know what? Before we do that, really quick, make sure you subscribe to the Howling Salt Mine podcast.
Oh,
you're listening to this on a podcast app somewhere. You might be watching on YouTube. Well, I don't care where you're listening or watching this. Get on the Howling Salt Mine. Give him a follow. Give him a listen. Follow him on Twitter. Oh, get this. You want to see some crazy doodles?
Oh,
Who's doodling all them?
That's me. I'm doodling lots of stuff.
You're, making a lot of cool merch, and every now and then you'll be like, hey, this came up during a game and I drew this weird token that's way too detailed, or like, I had to copy Thalion the Gitrog monster, had to do it real fast, and you're like, hey, this could be a little drawing on the back of an artist proof by the artist themselves.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, we do some art, you know. We got a weekly podcast. If people love salty stories, which if they're listening to this, they do, check it
very
out.
Likely,
you know, it's
yeah.
a good time. We do swear a lot more though, so buckle up.
Yeah. Well, it's time for a story. Was that a good transition?
That was a wonderful transition.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, S tier for sure.
Who's got first? Which of the boys wants to talk first? And then we're gonna vote on this one.
Sweet. I have a pet peeve. I'm happy to crack it open.
Let's go. Sam, what's your pet peeve?
So, like I said, you know, I'm a pretty salty guy. I try to curb it. I am much better than I used to be, but I do get salty about things, and I don't think you guys want to hear me rant about how much I hate Archfiend of Ifnir for 20 minutes. So,
wow. Not a card I expected to come up at all.
I hate that card so much.
Why of all cards? Hold on a second.
Okay, because I beat him with it a lot.
Here we go.
I have a discard deck myself, and I quite like it in there, and I do like it in a reanimated shell. Archfiend of Ifnir, pretty great card, but Sam, in particular, you know what? On this show, we get a lot of people being like, Farewell is awful.
I mean, it is.
And I played against a guy who had Mana Crypt in all his decks and always has it in his opening hand.
Sounds like a bump stomp.
Lotus was a mistake. But here, lo and behold, a rare from Amon Ket is really getting your goat.
I hate it, dude. I hate it so much.
This is one of those cards that we're going to have to like read for the audience how infrequently it comes up. Archfiend of Ifnir is a 5-mana demon. It's a 5/4 flying demon for 3BB, and it's got cycling too, which means you can discard it and draw a card, which rarely comes up because you want to slam this bad boy unless they're reanimating. And the juicy part of this bad boy is whenever you cycle or discard another card, put a -1/-1 counter on each creature your opponents control. I'm sorry, but that just sounds like spicy goodness to the person running the card. And I love that. Love that a lot. Hey, shout out Massacre Girl fans. The newish, the release this year version of Massacre Girl from Murders at Karlov Manor. Good for you. You get another card that rules.
So I absolutely hate this card because Tony runs it in his Rafine deck. So he's constantly, what's the thing that Rafine does? Conniving.
Constantly conniving.
So he attacks with like 5 crappy little 1/1s. Connives 5 times. All my stuff, I'm censoring myself here. All my stuff gets -5/-5, and my board is wiped. And then I'm like, well, I hope I grab some removal. And when I do, and I remove it, he just brings it back from the graveyard.
Does that reanimating thing.
And then after the game, I'm like, that card sucks. And he's like, well, you should have had some more removal. And I'm like, I removed it. I did remove it.
For clarification, I didn't tell you should remove it more.
Yeah, it was Mike did. Now we're talking about a specific story. We've backed into a specific story here.
Well, but afterwards, I like the specific one too.
I'm complaining about it. And Mike is like, well, we should probably run more removal. And I'm like, I removed it, dude. Like, I took it out. I did what I was supposed to do.
What'd you remove it with? Because clearly it wasn't an exile effect,
right?
It was
not permanent removal. I want you to remove it from the game. I wasn't talking about removing it from the battlefield.
I'm trying, man. I'm using my social pressure to try to remove from Tony's deck because I complain so much. That's my other avenue of removal.
Which worked.
Oh, boy. Honestly, great possible topic. Let's keep that in the hat.
I mean,
social pressure as a form of removal.
I mean,
that's
it works.
So funny.
It's one of the strongest forms.
I mean, that's how we don't have land destruction in our format, really.
Oh, like, yeah. And honestly, that Tony is very susceptible to that, to the point where sometimes we feel bad and we tell him he should put the card back in his deck. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, it's Archfiend again.
We've socially removed entire decks that Tony plays.
Yeah.
Rafine rips so hard, and this card belongs in it. This card, it serves two purposes. Archfiend of Ifnir serves two purposes in that deck. Clear the way or eat a path. Like, yeah. it's yeah. not a question. Hey, yeah. buddy, I look at Archfiend of Ifnir in that deck as a ramp. I don't know about you guys, but, like, getting hit by Path to Exile with that, not a bad one.
Yeah, it's a hexproof spell for your stuff.
yeah, it's just a 5-mana spell skite. I don't know why you guys are freaking out about it.
It doesn't even cost a life.
Broken.
So I think one of the compounding problems of Archfiend of Ifnir is that the typical play pattern with it in our group is Tony will land it, he'll wipe the board. We don't get removal after a couple turns, and we're more often than not playing these like creature focused decks. So it's hard for us to crawl back. So we get to this point where it's kind of like hopeless, and we concede and give Tony the win, but he doesn't want that. So it's kind of this two-way street of like Archfiend of Ifnir makes me salty and makes me want to concede, because if I don't draw exile, then I can't do much about it. But Tony doesn't want to win by concession, and that makes him feel bad. So it's just like, it's kind of salty all around.
I mean, I think the thing is with this card, it's evolved over time. So the first time I played it, everyone was like a little sad. And then, you know, I wiped their boards and then like I killed them. Right. And it was fine.
Yeah.
And then the second time I played it, it was a very similar scenario. I wiped their boards and they're more sad. And this time they're like pretty salty and they've removed it a couple times, but I have brought it back a couple times. So it's just like painful. Then I played it and everyone was just like, I concede. Yeah. I'm done. It's over. Like,
I don't want to deal with this.
Oh, wow.
It drastically works each time.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Our patience so ran out so fast.
Got some reputation problems. Yeah.
I mean, look, to be fair, no, this card rips. I don't know.
Oh, it totally rips. But like, as I went to play it, I knew what was going to happen. And I was like, I have to. It's in my hand. It's there. Like, and I play it and I'm like, I'm sorry as I play it. And they didn't even know what it was. And I think Nick was like, Archfiend of Ifnir, like the other guy from our pod, as it was coming down from my hand, as I was apologizing.
I'll say I play it in my discard deck, which is Anya Falkenrath. And like, hey, beginning of your turn, discard a bunch of stuff. Hey, cool. Love that for me in that deck. I play a lot of creature focused decks where I would see that card and be like, well, I got to kill that immediately.
Yep.
Well, that needs to go now. And that's like a fun hurdle/challenge that you can levy to the table.
Yeah.
And you kind of like try to figure that out. But at the same time, if it ends up being like, well, I just don't have it. Does anybody else have it? And everybody agrees to concede. Yeah. Tony, you can't just be like, No, wait, guys. Guys, come on.
No, I don't try and force them to play still. It's just sad when I've brought them to their knees, you know, like
I mean
when someone concedes, it's not a win that like fills you with joy. You're like, oh, I broke their spirit, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that we're kind of, you know, I was going to start with a salty story. I think we're kind of backing into something where Tony is the boss. We're continuing to play Archfiend of Ifnir. Like, if you have a win con that you play and you know your friends are going to scoop in, you know, absolute will breaking frustration, do you continue to run it in your decks and continue to jam it?
I mean, here's the thing. The way you're phrasing it makes it feel like you're making him out to be such a bad guy.
Yeah, that was intentional.
I'll say, hey, if somebody in your playgroup doesn't like Mill and you love Mill, are you just gonna like be like, nah, I'm not gonna play Mill anymore? Like, hell no, dude. This is your play style. You guys have that conversation. That guy's gonna have to get over it. You might have to build a different deck. Like, you know what I mean? It like compromises everything. Yeah. You guys in a regular playgroup. I'll say that there are cards that are like Archfiend of Ifnir in this example that I don't play anymore. I don't mess with Cyclonic Rift anymore. I don't think that's fun. I've taken Smothering Tithe out of most of my decks, except for like maybe a handful. And I've got too many decks, dude. I'm sitting at 40 right now, and I need to cut this down significantly.
That's but so like, many, dude.
It's way too many. And you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of them are pre-cons, so those are easy to take apart. But some of them are pre-cons that I'm like, these are good pre-cons, and I want to keep them together. But I'm like, I got them on a good deal. Point is, Dockside is another one where like people see it and they're like, ugh, gross. Like, it's not great. But Farewell is another one, right? We can talk about all these other cards. Like, I've taken Farewell out of decks. I have it in the maybe board of my Aminatu Super Friends deck because in it, I could just like win the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, if I play Farewell and everybody groans, because I've played it to an empty board and I have like no planeswalkers or anything, then I'm a jerk, right? That's right. Not great. If I'm playing Archfiend of Ifnir to clear the way and being like, I'm going to get rid of these key pieces that are screwing with my game plan, and then I'm going to dominate from here on out, like, that's a good play. That's just how you... It's a game. You win games.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I don't think I could be mad at Tony for playing the card, but if it is like, hey, Vampiric Tutor, going to go get this Archfiend and put it into play.
You're looking at me like that. It's not, but Sim's trying to give me that look. But in Rafine, I draw my whole deck every time. So, like, yeah,
I'm going to get it. And then put it into play.
Yeah. He's going to get it no matter what. He's drawn so many cards.
And that's not his fault. That's just the card how it plays. He's not going to go get it. He's not replacing. Look, all a tutor is like blank cycling for whatever you want, right? So it's like, if he had a card in hand that said, go get yourself a Knight Archfiend of Ifnir, you're a sweet, sweet boy, and that was all the card did, and every time he went to go get the Archfiend and he'd play it, like, yeah, that would kind of suck, but he's like, it comes up.
I think part of why I have removed it from the deck, it's in like the sideboard, so when I play with other people, I put it back in.
Nice.
Because it is just like a very good card, right? But when I play with my so pod, good. There's something to be said about consistency versus boredom.
Yeah.
And like, I don't like cards that I always have to play. If it's in my hand and I'm like, I have to play this and I can't play something else because it's just not the right choice because that card is objectively just better. I feel like those are the cards over time I'll either take out, or if it's like happening with the deck as a whole too much, I'll just stop playing the deck because I just personally get bored and I'm like, I want to do other things. Yeah,
no, totally.
I think Tony says it well. Like, and you said it well too, Mike. Like, it is a good card. It is objectively a banger card in Rafine.
Banger.
And I don't fault anyone for running it. And I do, you know, kind of jokingly.
You fault Tony.
Mess with
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Fault.
I think we all just
did like a double take.
Well, yeah. To my point, you know what I mean? But if your heart is full of evil, like how Tony's is, then no, I'm kidding. But it is this thing where, like, how Tony described it, it's the play pattern of how we've gotten to this point where if we can't deal with Archfiend of Ifnir immediately, like we've kind of lost the will as a pod to try to fight through it. And we're just like, all right, we concede. And it's kind of this dueling thing where, like, I don't love facing the card, but Tony also doesn't love these wins where we all just concede. So it's sort of this weird thing where I think it's getting pushed out of Tony's deck for like a couple different reasons from a couple different angles. You know what I mean? Where if you were truly just not playing it because of all my griping, you know, that's one thing. But when it has this play pattern that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, it kind of gets it to another level where, like you said, Tony, you keep it around, play it every once in a while, but maybe it's something that you don't want to play every week. Because it is so good that when it's in your hand, you should play it. Like, it is the right move to always play the Archfiend because it's a win.
Or recycle it and then reanimate it.
Which is also tight, which I also love a lot. I'll say, like, I'm trying to think of other cards that feel like that, where you're like, well, I drew this, I have to play it. You know what I mean? Like, when you top deck a Jeska's Will and you control your commander at the beginning of your turn.
Yep.
Yeah.
You kind of got to play the Jeska.
Or like a Bolas's Citadel when you have six mana and haven't played a land for turn.
Another card I've started cutting out of stuff. Talk about other cards that, you know. There's a lot of cards that are just like really strong and homogenize games a little too much. And and it feels like, you know, when they get boring to you or like your pod, it's fair to freshen things up. And that's also like why a project like All Legends Jota the Unifier is tempting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you shuffle, like, you know, you don't want to get all the garbage legends in there. So you shuffle like a select 100, you know, legends. And you pick 40 every time, you shuffle them up. You don't even know if you've got a decent cascade line or anything. Who cares?
Yeah, this could be fun.
Throw them in.
Those kind of random
decks. See what happens. At worst, you'll find yourself a god that doesn't turn on because devotion's not met. You know? Yeah. But those things are still dope. Like, oh, my Karnos won't do anything, but every turn somebody takes damage.
Yeah, I have the same thing with like Eldrazi Conscription in my Rafik of the Many deck. Because if there's ever an opportunity where I can tutor an aura to the battlefield or have that in my hand and can cast it, it's like, there's no reason for me to not cast this and immediately knock somebody out of the game. Because that's what the deck is supposed to be.
The,
you mean know?
The biggest, strongest aura ever printed?
Yeah, like
in your Voltron card. Deck.
Yeah. Don't do Colossification dirty like that. Come on.
Colossification taps your stuff down. Unless you're playing what is it? Masako the Humorless, where tap creatures can still block.
Yeah, tap creatures can still block.
No, wait.
That's a
that's
great
not
one.
It. You know what? That's not even what I meant. What if you get attacked with tap creatures? My idea fizzled here, but you know what I mean.
I do. Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, I felt the intent.
Classification ain't it. I'm stepping on that one easy. You know?
But yeah, there is kind of this thing where it's like, if you have the perfect card in hand, do you play it even though you know it's going to make your playgroup salty? Or do you, you kind of step back over time, like Tony's saying with Archfiend, and slowly cut it out of your deck, or consider like, is this really the play pattern that I want every time I play this deck? Because for me with Rafik, it is. I love playing Eldrazi Conscription. It's great. I'm just not going to play that deck every week. Heck, I don't even play it every month.
Fair.
I bust it out on special times, torture the table with it, and then I put it back in the closet.
See, in that kind of case, I can't see you taking out Eldrazi Conscription. All right. Mm-hmm. Already it's a strategy that doesn't translate well to three players. It's Voltron. Like, you know, you're already up against it. It's a deck you barely play. Like, I wouldn't. It sounds like Rafine's getting play, baby. Rafine is, you know. Which, side note, by the way, Rafine is so cool, and I've had a deck on the back burner, and I'll tell you what, Archfiend totally revived that idea to me. Like, I totally want to build a Rafine deck right now. But I will say that the Rafine art, the basic art for a Rafine, you know how it looks like on a card, you're like, that's such small art, and you'd barely look at it. It looks like Rafine's just got an arm up, like pointing, instead of that being the wing.
Yeah.
And that's what I always think of when I think of Rafine. I think that Sphinx is pointing at something. And it's the wing.
It, you know? It kind of looks like it's putting up like a shield. Like, yeah, there's like some shielding in front of it.
Or maybe it's just pointing at the shield like, ward, duh. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like to me.
Did you read the ward one?
Yeah, that's my ward.
You held up one mana for a Swords to Plowshares? That's cute. Did you notice that you got to pay two? Uh-oh. Somebody sucks at magic. Swing for 27. Yeah, Rafine looks fun as hell, though. But
it is a good deck.
There are tons of cards that I've started taking out of decks because they seem... You know, you get bored by them. You know, like they get a little bit too good.
Yeah.
It's too easy. There are cards that like maybe worked well once and you're like, that was fun that one time, but it's never going to happen like that again. It's never going to be as good as that again. Maybe it's time to sunset this bad boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been experimenting with like just budget deck building too, because it does take out some of those like immediate staples, like your Rhystic Study or your, you know, your Bomb Bolt.
Another card I don't play anymore.
Those things. Yeah. Like, as soon as you're building on like a $50 budget, you're never going to reach for those things. You know, you're always going to reach for the other stuff.
Your land base becomes all tap lands and they're in a box somewhere with all the rest of your pre-con scraps that you put aside. I'll say I've started removing Sol Ring from some decks. I think it's, I think that's a, look, people love their Sol Ring. It is a hot take and I'll stand by it. I have my Omnath Locus of Royal deck, no Sol Ring in it. I have a couple decks where
that's
I'm just
cool.
Like,
I'll drop
Ring,
mine,
not necessary,
and then like just be two turns ahead of you. It's okay. I'm cool with it.
You're that, you can not run Elven it all you want.
Serialized.
Here's the way that I play Magic. I play Magic to see some cool stuff happen, and you know what doesn't feel cool is dropping a Sol Ring. It just feels like, oh, I've done this a million times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you done it a million times? Are you one of those people that starts with it in your opening hand every time? Is that the...
It's happened. Is that it's the happened issue? On occasion.
It's been known to happen, you know?
Hey, I'm not saying that my luck is that good, but you play Commander for 10 plus years, you get a Soul Ring turns 3 through 7 often enough, and you're like, well, here's the thing
great.
That's going to let me...
You feel that adrenaline in your body. Like,
you know what feels better than... oh, my God. Ooh. You know what feels better? All right. You know what feels better than top decking a soul ring every time? And I will put this feeling head to head with this next scenario. You're at four lands. Four. Got no land in hand. Your next spell that you really want to cast, six mana. Top deck, garbage.
I know where you're going.
Garbage card. Temple of the False God. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
I really thought you were going to be like a mana crypt, and I was like, yeah, dude, that's great.
Disgusting. Temple of a False God, not good. All right?
Man.
It is. Even if Frank Karsten ran the numbers and was like, it's good, actually, it's not. It doesn't feel good being like, okay, my third land, I guess I can't cast my commander this turn, but I got to swap and this planes. But so Temple of the False God, I guess, past turn. Oh, next turn, I'm going to play these Cabal Coffers for nothing. Like, that's never a good feeling. But you know what is a good feeling? I feel so much better landing a turn five Temple of the False God than playing a Soul Ring on any turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are moments I can live for. All right. So I'm thinking, like, you know, there's some cards you could afford to keep out if it makes, you know, Definitely. Games a little bit more fun.
I think my favorite thing that beats out a turn one Soul Ring is casting a mental misstep on someone else's turn one Soul Ring.
Oh,
ooh, baby, yeah. That feels good. You just see the light leave their eyes. It's such a great moment.
You thought you were going to have
two extra mana? Nah, and now your land is tapped. Enjoy.
And your hand is probably because like you were relying on. Oh, God, whatever.
Fair.
It's just going to happen. Say,
It is funny that like some of the most memorable moments are stuff like Saffron Olive strip mining Tomer after he fetched a land.
Yeah.
Or like on MTG Goldfish. Or like whoever, like Krim stifling a fetch land on Arena after like it got released or something. Like, that's so funny to me.
I love it.
Because look, they're definitely a play group and they're doing the play, and Krim did it 1v1, so it's not like, you know, if I'm playing against one person, no limits, baby. Let's destroy those lands.
You gotta do
it. I'm here to win.
It's all an option.
If it's an hour-long affair and I'm really like ruining somebody's day, you know, I gotta ask myself some questions, right? Especially since, again, are there cards that are in your hand that you're like, I should play this and I don't want to? Buddy, I have pulled counter spells out of my deck for years now because every time I have it, I'm like, this seems like it would be a good time for them, and I don't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's because you're not meant to be a real blue player. Most blue players are trash, and they'll be like, yeah, they live for that.
They live for that.
I was going to say.
You're salivating for it.
As good of a time as it was about to be is exactly as good of a time as I have countering it.
You know what it is, though?
Equal.
Here's the thing. Do you enjoy
sadness?
What's that?
Sadness? Is it sadness?
Yes. Yeah. I don't enjoy sadness. You know what I do enjoy? Okay, here's the thing. This is what I love. What I live for in Commander is the engines. And listeners, you already know this about me. I love a bunch of permanents altering the way the game works.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all figuring it out. And that's cool as hell. Another thing that I love is when somebody's like, I think I got the win here. I just got to work this all out. And everybody at the table's like, let's all figure it out.
Oh,
that's
I love that.
The best. Okay. Yeah. It's like, it's, hey, we lost already. Cool. Let's see how these cards interact. More often than not, it's a new card that somebody's like, I just put this in the deck and I finally got it out. And you're like, hell yeah, dude. I'd love to see what this friggin', what is that? A Kraken that nobody's put in a deck that does this one very specific thing. And your commander is a new set thing that doesn't even care about Krakens, but some reason this is working. Okay. Oh, but because of my elephant grass, you can do this.
Yes, elephant grass. I'm a huge elephant grass fan.
Oh, man.
Of course you are.
That card is great. That card is great.
Yeah, those moments are really awesome.
So I appreciate that. I appreciate lifting the hood up and watching an engine run. But you know what else I think is neat is if you just throw a wrench in it and see what happens. Like, it goes wobbling. Like, that's crazy. That's what I'm here for.
You're a monster. And you know what? You're valid. You're valid.
I will say, like, a couple thoughts on this. The first is that, like, there's something so fun about just being a little bit petty with good friends in a trusted pod. Like those moments where you counter someone's soul ring, or you like stifle their fetch land. Like those moments can be hilarious, man. I'm not I'm not doing that to a random person at the LGS, but I will do that to Tony every time I have an opportunity.
I have a friend similarly, my buddy Chris. Shout out to Chris. I don't know if you'll ever listen to any of this. I'm not going to lie. Chris is a good friend of mine. We've known each other almost 10 years. We've known each other over 10 years now. He was in the play group that I joined when I got back into playing Magic and got into Commander. And he is the guy that gets in the tank and talks it all out. And then he goes, if I had one more mana, I could do all this. And hold on a second. But if I do, guys, give me one more minute. And he's the guy in the play group that we all kind of clown on. But he's also the guy I call up when I've got like exciting news. Or like, hey, have you seen the previews? So he's a guy that I definitely love and care about. But there's nothing that beats a feeling, aside from the Temple of Falzgot thing, there's nothing that beats the feeling of Chris getting in the tank on his Riku turn. What's Riku's pull card name? Riku of the Two Reflections?
That sounds right.
So he's got this Riku deck that he's been like tooling over for like 8 years. And he's like, it's not quite there. It's too mana intensive. And then he'll be like, guys, I think I'm going to try it out. And we're all like, okay, buddy, try out Riku. And we'll even give him turns where we're like, buddy, we want to see the thing that you've been trying to make happen all this time. But then sometimes he'll just be like snarky about it. And his brother will be like, Arcane Denial. Do you have anything else? No? No? Oh, you do? The Mana Geyser? You have Mana Geyser? You're copying Mana Geyser? Mana Drain. Okay, what else you got? Okay, and it's my turn now? Kill you with commander damage. And then that's it. And it is very funny. It is like a uniquely funny experience to have a friend that you care so deeply about.
Yeah.
And they're being...
The best.
Yeah, they're being exactly what you love about them and hate about them.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to just give them one extra like nudge, like a, hey, buddy, hey, you really like that commander, huh? You really like it? Yeah, that's fatal push. I'm so sorry. All right.
I can think of a game where Tony was like going crazy, like he had an insane board state. He was playing his Togo Ichitekic deck. He just had a huge turn. So he had tons of golems. Nice. Massive golems, everything with +1/+1 counters on. He's feeling real high and mighty. Went to my turn, and he's just talking so much trash. He's like,
beautiful.
Yeah, you just try to do it, man. You just try to come at me because you
love
can't.
Because
you can't. And I'm like, I like destroy everything on your board. And he was like, whoa, wait. We're allies, actually. I think we had a deal, perhaps. Immediate backpedaling. Like, sometimes you can. We talk a lot of smack in our group, and sometimes you talk too much, and you get yourself in such hot water. And you're just like, well, I can't come back from it.
I mean, the most fun is pivoting with one of these, like, I don't know how you guys are going to do this, but if it gets to my next turn, I think you're all done for. And then somebody's like, okay, I'm going to remove this, remove that. And I'm like, but I'm a nice guy. You're at my house, you know, like I bought us pizza, you know, you don't have to do this.
Oh, so
and that's
good.
Obviously if they're like, well, I could walk it back. I'm like, you better not. I swear to God. That's like the worst is when they take you seriously when you're pleading with them.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to leverage us having a great time, me having the space to accommodate us having a great time. I'm going to leverage that into keeping my board state.
Yeah. I would never do that. Definitely not. That's not the right path for folks at all.
Tony sees a Cyclonic Rift. He's like, Sam, get out of the house now.
Give me the scone back too.
Mike, Mike goes to leave. He's like, I'm Sam's ride. And it's like, exactly. You stay right there.
He'll wait in the car.
Yeah, just waiting in the car. So sad. Can I come back in, guys?
You
I left
know
my
what
pizza.
You did. So this is, I mean, to not to, again, this is, we do things different here at Am I the Bullcast, where we say we're going to do 30 minutes and then we do an hour, but that's just how things go sometimes, baby.
Hey. Showbiz, baby, we know.
But that said, Archfiend of Ifnir really kicked this all off. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Of all cards, a card that we had to read online.
You know, I had a whole other thing I was going to talk about, but you touched a salty nerve with me.
I think we did.
You know, I spoke the name, I spoke it into existence, and the salt just took over me. I couldn't resist. I mean, hate that card.
I love that you guys all joined the call together, but I do wish we had time to get a story from Tony and Michael. Do you guys feel like you can give us another call in a little bit? You know, you guys want to do another call sometime?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I just gotta go buy one of those phone cards they sell. Yeah,
do the collect thing. We're gonna have Solani pay for this one. Shout out Games Freak SA, baby.
Hey,
I think that'll do it for this call that we've got. Make sure to subscribe and listen to Howling Salt Mine. Check him out on Twitter. Well, and what else are you guys on? What the platforms you guys are using? Twitter?
Oh, Twitter, Instagram. Most people listen to us on Spotify, but you can find us on pretty much any podcast app out there. New episodes every single Thursday. And we've got a massive backlog that's probably even bigger by the time this episode drops. So jump on into the mine.
Make sure you listen and subscribe, everybody. We're going to come back to Solani and Morgan in the studio. Well, if it wasn't my old pals from the Howling Salt Mine themselves, the Sweetie Petities over in the friggin' mine over there, the prospectors, the champs, we had Sam, Michael, and Tony. Thank you so much for calling in, and shout out to the sweet boys over at Howling Salt Mine. I want to say, first of all, go check out their podcast. They, as you heard, they're very fun. And they talk about something that we do here, which is stories that make you maybe a little salty. And this is one of those instances in the content creation sphere where, you know, you realize that you're doing something similar to somebody else, have a chat about it, and you're like, okay, well, it looks like let's work on something together. And we had that crossover episode on, crossover comic column. I did a column with the Howling Salt Mine guys and, a while back, and I've been on their podcast a few times. It's genuinely a great time. They're good eggs. Give them a follow. Thanks for calling in. Let's get into talking about what Sam had to say today, though. Morgan, before we dive in, do you mind reminding our listeners what our voting system is? And remember, these are people who've been listening. They're out here.
Essentially, have been reading the same peer-reviewed studies and mathematical treatises that we've placed.
Exactly.
As public information. So
yes.
The voting system works as thus. Between myself
as thus
and Solani, we each get one vote.
Yes.
And that one vote counts for one vote.
Boom. Now, to be clear, that's not a shared vote. That's you get individual
yes.
votes.
So the one vote for me.
Okay.
So
good.
We get two votes.
We get one
two votes
vote
between
each.
The two of you. Okay. Got it.
Exactly. See, you get it. You figured it out. It's just quick math. And Carroza.
And I also get one vote.
But you get two more points in that vote for a total of three.
Ah, I see. Okay, so one vote
that
counts
for three.
It's
easier. It's easier than you thought. Yeah, it's easier to parse than you thought it was.
Okay, so when I vote, it counts for three. When you guys vote, it counts for one each.
Yep,
all right,
perfect.
So there we go. That's our voting system. Morgan, tell the good people at home, what's Sam really asking here?
Well, in the spirit of Howling Salt Mine, Sam wants to know, am I the bolus for being salty about Archfiend of Ifnir? Or in other words, repeated board wipes or lockdown pieces?
Okay. Okay, this is a good one. I like this one. Good chat. I think I made myself clear when I was talking to the guys over there, but Michael, I want to turn to you first. How do you feel about it?
Mike, I think that if the answer was Grave Pact, they were talking about Grave Pact, you'd have a completely different tune, Mike. I'm attacking you personally on this one, Mike, because I know that your vote counts for three and my vote only counts for one. Yes. So I actually need to convince you to get to my perspective.
Got it.
And that's that if the card was like a Grave Pact or some other terrible stacks piece that does the same thing, it locks down the game. At the end of the day, you're not doing anything. You would hate it. So why is Archfiend of Ifnir okay?
Okay, well, that's
the question I'm posing to you.
To me?
Yeah.
Well, Archfiend of Ifnir requires you to be discarding cards, which isn't something every deck does just by accident. Grave Pact, you can slam in a deck with a bunch of creatures, they die, boom, Grave Pact triggers. And also, Archfiend is a creature, Grave Pact is an enchantment. As somebody who plays a lot of black-based decks, or a lot of decks that, you know, might not be able to interact with enchantments, I can't really get rid of a Grave Pact like I want to sometimes. You know, a Rakdos deck isn't necessarily the most equipped for that. And that's why I play Meteor Golem.
So it's a matter of degree.
Yeah, totally. I here's the thing. Archfiend of Ifnir is very similar to Grave Pact, but it can be hit with a Path to Exile. You know what I mean? It can be hit with a Generous Gift, sure. It can't be hit with a Doomblade, but it can be hit with a Go for the Throat.
So what you're saying is,
you know what I
dies
mean?
Dies to removal?
It dies to removal, you know, but removal that every color has a way to deal with, you know?
I'm sorry, Mike, but you can't use it dies to remove, because that would be the same argument I would make against Grave Pact. It dies to a Disenchant. It dies to a Generous Gift. I don't think you can target it with Doomblade, but you can definitely kill it if you were to somehow animate it and then make it not black and then cast Doomblade against it. You could do
that
it.
That sounds a lot more complex. A lot of ifs.
It's not that hard. You just got to use Scuttlebutt.
But here's the other thing is I'll say Archfiend of Ifnir needs you to be discarding cards. Archfiend of Ifnir needs you to be discarding cards. It's not something that you're going to be able to do the whole game. It's not something that you're going to be able to do constantly. Yes, it's going to buy you a couple turns or it's going to ruin someone's day. That's for sure. But not everybody's doing that stuff. And frankly, you know, I don't think that it's as bad as a Grave Pact. Is it like something I'm stoked to see played against me? No, I'm not happy to see it. But it's a new puzzle that I'm like, I think I can make something happen here versus a Grave Pact effect. Archfiend of Ifnir lets me have my stuff on board for a little while, unless they have instant speed discard, in which case, like, okay, I still have my like ETB stuff that I can work with. Grave Pact means that I have to like worry about how many things that you're going to sacrifice to make things happen. You know what I mean? There's so much more that comes along with a Grave Pact deck than just, you know, a board wipe every game.
I don't think he could possibly be the bolus. It's okay to be annoyed at cards because some cards are annoying.
Well, Michael, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying here as like, oh, okay, you're casting your vote for not the bolus? Is that what I'm hearing?
Unless you're going to cast your vote for not the bolus, in which case I'm going to switch it to whatever you're not voting for.
Why is that what you do? Why are you doing this to me?
Because if we agree that there's no conflict and the podcast falls apart.
If we agree...
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say that out loud.
If we agree... Yes, you can. We're not really abiding by that. If we agree, then we have ourselves a true Ugin. You know what I mean? If we disagree, we have ourselves a real bolus.
I suppose my vote, my true vote is I don't think you can be mad at the guy for not liking the card, for getting upset about it. As long as he doesn't do anything crazy like flip the table over or punch someone in the face, then like, yeah, you're allowed to feel things, dude.
Totally.
Take that advice. You're allowed to feel things.
You're allowed to feel things. I'm with you. Absolutely. Morgan, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a unique one because Carroza, you convinced me. I wasn't sure Solani was being real sneaky and trying to get you where he wanted you. And so at first I thought, okay, is he not the bolus or is he the bolus?
I convinced you.
I can't believe my plan backfired.
Well, nobody knows what the truth is, and I think that's just good politics. But in terms of Archfiend of Ifnir, I'll admit
Morgan's trying to find a way to say nothing for the longest amount of time possible.
Which is really good politics.
Call me crazy. But I agree with you, Rosa, in that,
all right, crazy.
In that Grave Pact is harder to deal with inherently than a creature.
Totally.
Like, it's simply it. Like, When Sam mentioned Archfiend of Ifnir, I will admit I was taken aback because this was basically right when I stopped managing a local game store. It was Amonkhet era. And I'm like, people are using Archfiend of Ifnir in Commander, and it's like, you know, a big deal. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Like, what does this do? What does this have? Ward or something that I didn't realize ward from the past can't be count. What is happening with it? And then I thought, oh, okay. Is this good? Is Archfiend so good that it's in the same realm of annoyance and forbearance as Smothering Tithe and Farewell and all these other cards that pretty much are universally hated? Is that the case?
No.
Hold, now, wait a second.
Wait, you said wait a second.
We were waiting.
Don't say wait a second and not follow it up. We're waiting for you.
We waited a couple seconds.
It's been a while.
I refuse to elaborate.
Good politics. No. Good. No. This is basically just
you guys are
politics
monsters.
Of Commander.
Both of you are monsters.
Are we archfiends?
No, hold on.
Only of Ifnir.
Well, Morgan.
Fair.
Why do you bring up the Cyclonic Rifts and Farewells of the like? Why? What are you saying?
Well, it's very much sounded like Sam had a particular reckoning against Archfiend of Ifnir, so I'm personally curious as to whether or not this is like just a particular hatred for this particular card, or it's in the same realm as everyone else.
I think he's mad at it in this deck in particular, and like I understand that because it's a deck that churns through itself and comes up regularly, and it's the card that Tony says that like if I draw it, I gotta play it. It's just too good, and the answer is like, yeah, of course it's too good. It's amazing. It's an incredible card. It's so good in that deck. You know what I mean? Of course, it means that Sam sees it a lot, and that's why he's salty about it. Like, that's why he's comparing it to the likes of Cyclonic Rift and Farewell and stuff, because those are, like, ubiquitous pieces that people kind of groan at. We know they're powerful, but we also kind of, like, roll our eyes at it. Do you know how many times I roll my eyes at a Sol Ring? You know, a card that comes in every
pre-con?
Do you
still have eyes in your head by rolling your eyes at a Sol Ring?
Yeah, my eyes,
no more eyes.
I look like a Steve Buscemi and Mr. Deeds. That's what
okay.
I look like.
Well,
they should print a commander that's just a Sol Ring.
I'm going to agree with Solani and say Sam is not the bolus for being salty.
Okay, so we got two for not the bolus. All right, now it's time for me to weigh in. It's fine to have feelings about cards.
Boo.
If you don't like a card, that's totally fair. But if the card is something stupid, like, I don't know,
let the record reflect that he's jostling around on his desk looking for some sort of card to make his point, despite the fact that the timing of it is completely off at this point and no longer will have the impact desired.
Okay, well, look. Okay, what if
you got an island in there somewhere or what?
An island, yeah. Okay, no, but like, here's the thing. It's fair to have a card that you dislike seeing. It's fair to have feelings about said card if it keeps on being a thorn in your side. Like,
don't you dare say but. Don't you dare say but.
Don't tell me what to say. Archfiend of Ifnir is a card that you see all the time because of that deck. These guys play together a bunch. You're going to see Archfiend a bunch because Rafine just digs. I play Anya Falcon Wrath. I have Archfiend of Ifnir in there because it's just a great card for a discard deck. And you know what? I don't get to see it every game because I don't churn through my deck the way a Rafine deck can. But when I get in my hand, I play it because I know it works for the strategy, and I know that it's going to do me some good. It's like if I have a Smothering Tithe in hand, I'm going to play it. Like, if nothing is pressing, I'm going to play it. It's only going to be good for me. You know what I mean? I can't fault Tony for playing Archfiend of Ifnir in his deck. I also can't fault him for taking it out of his deck. It's not in the deck anymore, right? That's what I understood. Like, Archfiend of Ifnir is gone because it's made for what, you know, a boredom. It's given, like, a lot of, you know, moments where they're like, okay, well, it's out now. We have to deal with it. Or let's hold a counter so that we can get the Archfiend. And then Tony now has counter backup to counter the counter that's coming for his Archfiend. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. If people hate it so much and you want to play with these people a bunch, you want to continue having good games. I don't think Sam is the bolus, period. Why would he be? He's not happy with a card coming down as often as it is. And to be fair, it's not like something like Rhystic Study, where I totally get why you'd be upset at Rhystic Study, but at least that's not like preventing you from playing the game. It is making your friend way more annoying than they normally are, but it doesn't make the game worse for you in the immediate sense. Like, it gives them way too much ammo if you don't pay into your taxes, but, you know, at least it's not killing your board every time they do something. So I think it's fair to hate Archfiend of Ifnir. It's fair to hate Grave Pact Effects. It's fair to hate Cyclonic Rift and Farewell and Dockside Extortionist and Smothering Tide and Mana Crypt. But don't look at, like, Goblin Sledder in your playgroup and think that thing's too powerful. I can't beat it. You can.
Dies to removal.
Good point.
Dies to removal. Look, a well-timed Goblin Sledder is great. You know, if you can sacrifice a goblin to give target creature +1/+1 until end of turn, you're in a Krenko deck and you need to go in for a swing, you can take somebody out. That's fair. But that becomes like a one mana, like, anthem for that turn, I guess, before somebody.
I don't know, Mike.
It.
That sounds way too powerful. I think I'd be annoyed if I saw that in game.
Yeah, you're right. I guess Sam is the bolus for having feelings about cards. That should tilt me the other way. Look, I think Archfiend is fine, but I also understand why you don't like it. And not the bolus. Have your feelings. Don't worry about it. Also, I want to commend Tony for recognizing that his playgroup hates it and that it's not worth it. This is a healthy example, an example of a healthy playgroup. This is something that we should shine a light on more. I get a ton of emails for the column. People write in and they're always complaining about their playgroup, and they're like, man, my playgroup doesn't like when I do this, or my playgroup doesn't like when I do this. And you're like, what? What are you doing? What are you doing to make it better? Do something. Have a conversation. You know?
Talk to someone.
These guys did.
Get some help.
Talk to your friends. They're already telling you they don't like it. Tony listened to his pals. And if his answer was, I'm going to double down on it and keep playing Archfiend, I mean, that's fair, but now you're going to have to deal with them creeping up and making sure that they take care of it better, that they're going to get rid of it. Now what? Now they're going to focus on you. Are you having fun? You know what I mean? Anyway, that's thank you so for calling in, Howling Salt Mine. Not the bolus. Trugan over here. Have your feelings. You know, it's the first of many, but probably the second collaboration. Okay, wait. This isn't the first or second collaboration between the Howling Salt Mine and Am I the Bolus crew. Anyway, Howl Am I the Bolcast Mine? Coming soon.
We're still stuck here in the mine.
You want to workshop that name a little bit?
No, Howl Am I the Bolcast Mine? Anyway, that does it. We did it. Trugan. Easy peasy, baby.
I was almost certain you were going to vote that he was a bolus.
Why would you think that somebody who doesn't like a card coming up and ruining his day?
Because you were so like, oh man, Archfiend of Ifnir is so cool. I love him so much. He's the
and
best.
It is. I'm not wrong, but is Sam wrong for being upset by it when he sees it so often? No. I don't play a deck with it often, but if I played it once in a while and people were upset about that one time, I'd be like, oh, look, it's the one time. Take it easy. Tony plays it in his Rafine deck that he plays a lot. It's not fair. Like, that sucks. Getting Archfiend out that often, that's not fun. You know, I get why Sam is upset about it. You can't keep a mana dork down. You're going to have to get competitive about it. You have to hold up removal to make sure that the Archfiend doesn't hit, you know? Then what? You're in blue. You've got protection stuff. Anyway, point is, not the bolus. Totally fair. But Archfiend of Ifnir still rips. I'm not gonna back down on calling it a cool card. It's a good card. It's a cool card. Before we get out of here, anything you want to talk about, Morgan, Michael, anything?
I want to ask the designers, why all the clue weapons in Murders at Karlov Manor?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they include the revolver? They've got the other ones, but there's no revolver. Doesn't make any sense.
Are there six weapons in Clue?
Yeah, isn't there the rope, the wrench, the revolver, some other ones?
I don't know. Knife, candlestick. You know why? Because revolver, gun bad. We have guns in Fallout.
We just had a Wild West set.
Yeah, well, gun bad there too. No guns in Wild West. Laser from fingers. Pew pew, baby.
Just have the revolver shoot a laser. Be like Overwatch or something. I don't know. I've never played that game.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of the revolver in the set. Personally, I'm glad that they excluded it. I don't know. Is that what you're hoping for? Like a colorless artifact that's just like, and the revolver, and it's like a meteorite clone.
Yeah, why not? Although I do like the idea that getting shot is the same thing as having a meteorite dropped on you. Two damage. Getting shocked.
Getting shocked, getting hit by a meteor, or being shot. Hey, Michael, check this out.
Yeah?
Take two.
Oh, no, now I'm at 18 or 38, depending on which mode I'm playing, which format.
Morgan, you started saying something. What were you going to talk about?
The revolver's a pretty pressing issue, but...
Pressing issue?
Shots fired.
Okay, I need to ask you both. Do you say Reese's or Reese's? What do you say for the peanut butter candy?
Look, I say Reese's, but I can't deny the fact that it's very fun to say Reese's Pieces.
Okay, not the bolus. Got it.
It's wrong.
Solani, you look incredibly... You look like you were about to say... Like, you were about to drop a beat.
I have a dissertation on the subject.
Do you really? Why are we talking about...
No, of course not.
Reese's Pieces.
No, it's Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces. Or else. Take two,
Why
Solani.
Does Reese have so many personal computers?
Oh, boo. Get out of here. How dare you? All right, well, I feel good about this one ending right there. Are you guys good with that, too?
Yep.
As good as ever.
Well, do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I would like to do that. Do I have permission?
Michael, just do it. Ken, sorry about that one.
You can find all of my stuff at gamesfreaksa.info. That's the letters essay, not the word essay. Gamesfreaksa.info. And all my articles are at Commander's Herald.
There we go. Don't forget to check out the How They Brew It, Satoru the Infiltrator, and the Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. It's good reading and good eating. All right. That brings Morgan. Where can people find you? What do you want them checking out?
Yep. I am on Twitter at Indigo Gentleman, and check out everybody's articles, Commander's Herald and EDH Rec.
Boom, baby. My name is Mike Carrozza. You can find me at Mike Carrozza, at MikeCarrozza. Find us at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. Please follow us there. If you like the podcast and prefer to watch/listen on YouTube, it's the exact same, except there's a picture of our logo, so you could do that on YouTube as well. And, let's see, this comes out when? That's cool. Months from now, I'll be doing something cool. Hope that's helpful.
Takes you that long? You really got to charge up to do something cool.
I forgot to turn on the light so I could see my calendar from here. It got dark while we were recording. Anyway, check out stuff I do. I got a comedy album out. Check out my column, Am I the Bolus? Please subscribe to this podcast. If you can give us a review, 5 stars, and tell people that you like it, that helps a great deal. Give the Howling Salt Mine guys a follow. And check us out online. If you have a story that you want to share or anything that you want discussed on the podcast or in the column, send it over to amithebolus@gmail.com. Again, that's amithebolus@gmail.com. Send it in to me. Tell me if you want it for the podcast or the column, and we'll do both if you want. Who cares? Let's do whatever. Who cares? Let's do it. No problem. Whatever. I'll do it. What, you think I won't? I will. Let's get ready for Modern Horizons 3, baby. That should be coming out tomorrow. by the way, this
tomorrow.
Looks.
Tomorrow.
No, in a couple weeks, probably. It's not going to be tomorrow. All right, well, look, next time you see me, maybe I'll finish my Rakdos deck, or maybe I'll have a Marchesa deck, or maybe I'll stop myself from building a new deck and just try out the Secret Commander deck I finally built and put together and trimmed down to 100 cards instead of 170. Do we have a sign-off for this yet? We don't, eh?
Oh, my God, end the episode.
Wait, how? How do
click.
I do it?
Just play the music.
I don't click. All right, you listened to this episode of the Am I the Bowlcast? It's the podcast where the podcast is ending. Okay, bye.